This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you. Welcome back to another episode of Lead Singer Syndrome, the second part of a two-part Warped Tour announcement special. If you missed the first part, no big deal at all. You can listen to this one and then go back and check it out. It's a great episode, though. We talked to Kellen Quinn from Sleeping with Sirens. We talked to Aaron Barrett of Real Big Fish. And we talked to Daniel from a great new band called Capsize. And today on this episode, three more singers. We talked to Jordan from Newfound Glory, Derek from Mayday Parade, and Andy from Crown the Empire. Again, I think this episode and the last episode, they're very diverse, not just in, you know, terms of music, also in terms of the age of the bands and the people that are, you know, going to be on Warped Tour this summer. And that's one thing about Warped Tour people don't realize is just the true diversity there is. There are so many different kinds of bands, so many people from all different walks of life, and that's really what makes it special. Anyways, before we jump in, if you guys want to get in touch, it's real simple. We're on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And also, I didn't give you guys this phone number last episode, but we do have the hate line set up, which is 657-666-HATE. So if you totally hate my guts and you want to leave a message for me on the phone, give it a call. I love that shit. Give it to me. Give me the hate. All right, first off, we've got Jordan from Newfound Glory. They have done Warped Tour so many times, too many to count, in fact. And they truly are legends, you know, in the pop punk world. So they're going to be performing on the whole tour. And it's cool to talk to Jordan because I actually have a couple stories I tell him about when I was a kid. And Newfound Glory was the first bus I ever went on. So here it is, my conversation with Jordan from Newfound Glory. So, Warped Tour again. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. It's been a while.
we know how it is. I always think it's funny. I talked to a few other guys about she hungry or not hungry?
After you eat some real food.
I already ate some stuff.
No. Oh, it's two boys, but they have like the highest screams ever.
Oh wow, I'm sorry.
And it's like payback from when I was a kid because I had like a really high voice. And my mom always used to tell me that like all you could hear me in like home videos and stuff just whining in the background with this high pitched voice. So it's payback.
I guess so. I mean that's funny. Well, you never know too, like you know, when a kid's voice drop, it's like unpredictable. You like never really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I had this one friend, we used to make fun of his voice, and now he has like the lowest, boomiest voice like ever. And I wonder if it's almost because we made fun of him, you know, that he was.
Yeah.
But
That's funny.
Anyways, dude, hey, man, let's jump back to Warped Tour. How many times have you done it now?
Oh, man, we've been doing it. Well, when we first, so the first one we ever did was in 99, I think, and we did the local stage in South Florida.
Right.
It was like a year with Eminem and like.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. And we did the local stage, and then we had one of the biggest draws that day because, you know, obviously we were a Florida band and we were getting momentum locally and all that stuff. So we had a really big draw, and the local stage was inside the amphitheater.
Right.
And you know, the main stages were in the fields, but it was, we were just flying all day, man, right before till before we played. And it was awesome. And then like the local paper wrote about it that we drew, like had this big draw. And then in 2000 or 2001, we got asked to do like a proper like tour. Sure. On the Warped Tour. And we were on like one of like the little truck stages.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny thinking back. Cause like, you know, nowadays it seems like, you know, I don't know if there's more slots on the main stage or if it's just like the way the climate's changed or whatever, but like I remember seeing, you know, a band like Sum 41 they literally had a platinum record out.
Yeah.
And they were on the side stage, you know?
Yeah.
And it seemed like with you guys it was kind of the same thing. Like you guys were blowing up you know, like on MTV and everything, I think at that point. Yeah, already. And it was like, you know, it's just funny to me that like it's not like that anymore, you know?
Yeah. I think that was Kevin's way, though, to kind of just like say, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how big you are or how small you are. Like,
you got to pay your dues.
Yeah, you got to pay your dues. And that's exactly what we did. And then from there, like, we pretty much did it like every other year for a few years. And then the last one we did recently was, I think, 3 years ago or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 2012, I think I saw. So. Yeah,
yeah,
it's funny, man. Like, I don't know if you can relate to this, but like, you know how brutal Warped Tour can be, you know, just like on your body and walking around in the heat. And it's like, it's so relentless. And what always happens with Silverstein is we do it. And at the end of the summer, we can't wait to go home. And we're like, we're never doing it again. And then like a couple months pass by and it's like, I kind of miss it.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of miss hanging out with my friends and like barbecuing and stuff, you know, and it's really funny. So I guess for you guys now, I wonder like what your take is on it, like being 4 years removed, if like you're really excited or if you're kind of like, oh no, like the hot sun and everything is going to be.
It's kind of mixed feelings for me, honestly, just because like I know how great it is. And like once I'm there, like it's going to be awesome because we know there's so many dudes that we're friends with, you know?
Yeah.
On the tour this year, and it's a really good year, and but at the same time it's like, man, it's gonna be hard on my, you know, it's hard on my wife and kids and stuff, like gone for 2 months straight,
right?
And that's normally on a regular tour too, but the difference is that, you know, on a normal tour we're playing like regular venues and it's a little more cushy and like my kids can come out and visit and stuff like that, where on Warped Tour, like we the last time we did it, they came out a couple of times here and there, but it's a lot harder.
Yeah, it is definitely harder.
So, but it's all about, and I know so many bands say it, and it's because it's true. It's like, it's all about the hangs, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody,
man,
hanging out afterwards. Because you play for 30 minutes. That's like 8 songs.
I know.
If that.
Well, that's the other question I had for you is like, how are you going to pick a set list? What are you guys going to do?
It's hard to tell right now. I don't, because we usually kind of, we'll probably do a couple days of rehearsal just to make sure we got, like, because we're home right now for a couple months.
Yep.
And then we go over to the UK, but before Warped Tour, we'll probably do a little couple days of rehearsal and then work out the songs and figure it out. Because, like, we, on a normal set, like, we bust through, like, 25 songs, and that's in an hour and 15. Like, we just go song to song. So I'm hoping that we can all agree to, like, stick to like 8 songs or something, keep it easy, just because I know bands that like play a half hour set and they do five or six songs, you know, and like talk in between.
Oh yeah, no, we try to bust through 8 or 9 when we, you know, we got a couple, like, you know, it's always awkward too, because when you have like that whatever 30 minutes and then you're like, well, like, we've got like 2 minutes left,
yeah,
so we don't want to waste 2 minutes, so we'll like just play like we'll play like a Propaganda cover or like a Kid Dynamite cover or something just to fill in like that minute and a half.
You guys did a bunch of those songs too, put out a record.
Yeah, yeah. It was something we would do. Like and that's the other thing we like to do is just play different songs every day because we get really bored. And I mean, with you guys too, like you guys are probably capable of that because, you know, you guys are kind of old school with how, I mean, like the last time we played with you guys, I think it was like in Hawaii a few years back. And
yeah,
you know, you guys don't play to a click track. You guys don't have in ears or anything. Like you keep it really, you know, it's funny to call that old school now, but you know what I mean? It's you guys are kind of like really, it's just like you guys just play, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to keep – well, first of all, we're cheap. That's the biggest thing. So we don't want to pay anybody extra crap just to have extra crap and bring extra crap, you know? Like, I think for us, we just kind of want to play and just and not have to worry about it because, you know, it's hard, like, doing in-ears and clumped tracks and stuff. Like, it's a lot of extra crap you have to worry about.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of, like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? Like, you've been doing it the same way for so long, like – you know, it's how you're comfortable too. So I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I think for me though, now that I'm older, like I kind of want to hear myself now more than I did before. So I actually have thought about going back on ears, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing you say. Like, you know, you guys growing up, you know, in like in the hardcore scene. It's actually funny. I'll tell you a quick story. When I first heard of your band, I thought you were a hardcore band. Because you were on, well, I'd heard like your name around a little bit with some of my like kind of hardcore buddies. And I was like, okay, yeah, Eulogy Records, you know, ex-members of Shai Hulud.
Yeah.
And I ended up seeing your record. It must have been your first record in like a used CD shop. So I picked it up and I was quite surprised that it was not,
were you bummed or were you pleasantly surprised?
Well, I was shocked. I was definitely shocked because I think that like it's like hit or miss is the first song, you know, and it's right. I think on the first record, right? So it's like it's a great song, and I like loved. I'm not just like I wasn't just like a hardcore dude like some of my friends. Like I like, you know, I loved like Fat Records punk rock, and I loved like, you know, like Lifetime's one of my favorite bands. So I like totally got it, but it took me. Yeah, like a couple songs, and I was like, oh, okay, they're not going to start, like, screaming really or anything, which is fine, but I just remember that kind of freaked me out, but anyways, I'm going off track, but I mean, growing up in that kind of hardcore scene when you're playing, like, a VFW hall, and there's no monitors, and you, like, can't hear yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's just something, like, you get used to, and then you're almost more comfortable and not hearing your voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you kind of rely on just like how it feels in your body as opposed to hearing yourself,
right,
and then you
right.
just blow out your voice, and then you know, then when you actually have to play a real show, and you know, then and you're singing really crappy, and everyone's judging you. It's great. It's a great feeling.
You must have had some vocal issues over the years. I mean, like, or does it generally hold up pretty well?
It usually holds up pretty well. I haven't had any, knock on wood, like crazy surgeries or having to do anything like that. I mean, there's definitely been tours where I've had to get like cortisone shots and things
that
where I had to call the rock doctor and they'd have to come up and give me a shot in my butt. So
dude, so that's a real thing,
you know?
Cuz that's like,
yeah, oh yeah,
cuz I've like haven't really heard of that. I've never been on a tour where that's happened. And I've heard people say that, oh yeah, what do you do, like a shot in the ass? And I like feel like that's some old school, like, you know, like Aussie shit or something, you know?
It totally is.
Yes. So can you tell me how that works and what exactly happens and how it like makes you feel? Cause I really don't know much about that.
So this, I can remember one tour in particular. It was pretty recent. We were on tour and, it was the tour that I had broken my leg. And I decided to stay on the tour and finish it out. Cause I, you know, that stuff sucks. And I was like, it's only my foot. I can make it through it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so we were on the East Coast, and it was cold and rainy and crappy, and I got sick, like I do every freaking tour. And, I being sick plus the boot, you know, the broken foot, I was just miserable.
Yeah.
And we had a big show in Jersey, and so I was like, what can I do? And then someone in the office at the venue, like, mentioned, hey, we got a guy that comes out here, and he, you know, does checkups and whatever. I was like, yeah, let's get him out. And again, he recommended I do this shot. So he comes and he, you know, the nurse brings me in the back of the bus and she just puts it like right in my butt cheek. And within a half hour, I was feeling awesome. Like, I didn't feel that tight, like, crappy, like, sandpaper feeling in my throat,
right,
you know?
Right.
And it was like, it just felt open. I don't actually know exactly what it does, but all I know is I sang pretty good that night, and it totally helped me. So
yeah, that's crazy. I just wonder if that's bad for you, you know, like over the long run, you know,
I definitely wouldn't do it. I don't know if you can even do it that often or if it's just a once in a while thing, but yeah, I try all the voodoo, man.
All the voodoo. Yeah. You're a voodoo guy. You do all the I see guys it's funny. I mentioned Ozzy and maybe I was in the back of my mind or something thinking about this, but I saw Black Sabbath.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, they're doing that farewell tour.
Yeah.
And behind Ozzy on the drum riser was like every vocal remedy I've like ever heard of. You know, like he's got those little throat spray bottles and there's a cup of tea and water and like Gatorade. And I think there might've been some like booze, you know, whiskey or whatever. Yeah. Literally like everything right behind him on the drum riser, which I thought was funny at like a big major production show, you know?
That's awesome.
So you do that stuff too. You try all the different remedies.
Yeah. Yeah. The Entertainer's Secret spray is like really great. That kind of gets you through a show.
Yep.
I think, and I don't know if it's just mental. You know, 99% of it is probably mental.
I would say so.
But yeah, I've tried it all, man. Like throat coat tea. Throat coat's usually my after show thing.
Yep.
I'm trying to think what else I've tried. Oh, Haley from Paramore taught me gummy bear tea. And
I just heard about that the other day. I never heard about gummy bears being a thing, but
yeah,
I've heard that too.
I guess because the gelatin in it, and I guess it's not recommended for vegans, but like it's that you just throw a handful of gummy bears into a teacup and pour really hot water over it and let it melt.
Crazy.
And it's like this delicious hot liquid treat.
Yeah.
But it also like coats your throat.
That's super
that
crazy.
A couple times.
It's
yeah.
funny. I just have another memory of mine actually. Like, I guess it was the first time I saw your band play, and I don't know if you remember this. You probably don't remember this. It's another funny story, but I saw you. We were kind of hanging out because a girl friend of mine was like hanging out with one of you guys or something, so I was kind of like tagging along with her.
Yeah.
The show was in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And I think it was like H2O was opening for you guys or something.
Yeah.
I remember Cyrus wasn't there because he hurt himself.
Oh, he had broken his arm, yeah.
So you had the guy from RX Bandit. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I was at the show and like I hung out on your bus and stuff. It was like the first bus I'd ever been on was your guy's bus. And I think I left a Silverstein demo there too, actually.
That's awesome.
With one of you guys. Maybe it probably got signed to Roadside Records. But but anyways, sorry, I digress again. But I remember seeing you on the bus like warming down.
Yeah.
And it was super weird because I never like, I don't know how old I was. I was probably only like 18 or 19, but I never seen anyone do that before.
Yeah.
And that's still something you don't really see people do. Is that something that you still do?
It depends. It depends on how like lazy I want to be, because I was doing that for a long time because I was always taught, you know, like an athlete, they always like the most important time to stretch is after they, you know, perform or play or whatever.
Right. Sure. Sure.
So I'd seen this vocal coach a couple of times and he said, if you do anything, that's what you should like, if you forget to warm up before the show, whatever, like as long as you warm down, that's like the most important thing. And it's because of like, you know, the muscles in your throat and all that stuff. But I don't know if it's again, more like mental or what, like, you know, it's honestly helped me is just having a few drinks before I play and just going out there and just doing it and not thinking about it too hard. Cause when I think about it and I do all this stuff, then I like worry about it more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's like that. You said 99% mental, you know, if like you have a couple drinks and you're feeling a little more loosened up, you know,
yeah.
You're, maybe physically it kind of loosens you up too. You're
yeah.
Not all like, you know, there's not that tension in your body, you know?
So. Right.
Hey man, whatever works.
Yeah, man.
I always like to ask people. Well, yeah, you got a lot of. It's funny. Like sometimes I talk to singers and we don't even really talk about singing, and then sometimes it's just like so much stuff. So that's good. I gotta like remember that, like the rock doc thing, man. Like
yeah.
if I'm ever in trouble, maybe I got to call the rock doc. I don't know.
Dude, especially like for singing, like, I mean, when you guys are touring, like, you know, I know you guys come to the U.S. and go all over the place, but Canada, and it gets so freaking cold there.
Yeah, we just did it.
Yeah.
We just did it across Canada, man. Oh, it's, God, it's the worst. No, like, I'm sure you know, like, being in, like, Edmonton in January, and it's, yeah, like, minus 50, you know?
Like, I don't think about
it. You spit outside, and it, like, bounces, you know?
I live in San Diego, so it's, like, the same weather every day. So
yeah, living the dream, man.
Sometimes it's kind of nice to, like, experience other things, but, like, not when I have to sing five nights in a row.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, you got Warped Tour, which, I mean, you're at the mercy of their schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you can't call your booking agent and be like, can Warped Tour adjust the schedule for me, please? Because I don't want to do six or seven in a row or whatever.
But even like the date, like, because I know there's usually a couple of times where we play, like, early.
Yeah.
You know, like the 12 o'clock slot. And when you're up till 2 a.m. and then you wake up at, you know, 11 or whatever, and then having to sing an hour later, it's the worst.
Forget it. Forget it, man. No, that's the thing, man, on Warped Tour, because they never give you a heads up, too. You never know what time.
Yeah.
And I have to get up early. Like, I'm like in bed by midnight at the latest, and I'm up at like 8 for sure on Warped Tour, just because I know, like, the one time that I'm staying up late or whatever, it's going to happen.
I'm kind of like on the dad program lately.
Right. I can tell. Hey, man, I won't take up too much more of your time. Geez, we really covered a lot of shit, but yeah, man, dude, are you excited for Warped?
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most?
Just the short sets and just the hangs, man, because there's so many awesome people that are going to be on it.
You got any plans for setting up some, like, cool hang areas, like a nice hang tent, some nice chairs?
Yeah, like, because Less Than Jake's on it, and Story So Far, things like that. So, you know, we got a bunch of friends, and, like, I think we want to try and, like, make, like, a bus square, you know, which we've done before.
Yeah.
Last time we did it, it was, like, us, and last time we made this, like, The old guys called it the Circle of Hate, but we invited everybody over. But it was like us and Bad Religion and Flying Molly, and because our tour manager Carlos at the time, he was friends with everybody, and he's like, let's just do this, and we'll have a big raging parties in the middle of our buses every night. And sure enough, he had like his bar, because he's like a big, like, into food and cooking and stuff, so he'd always have his smokers and barbecues going, and just coolers stocked full of things, and every week there'd be a different drink of the week.
It's awesome.
So it'd be fun to do that, you know, again, but with like, you know, Less Than Jake and Story Dudes and whoever else.
Absolutely. No, it's great, man. There's some good young bands too. I'm sure, you know, like State Champs is a great, like, new, you know, pop punk band.
Yeah.
That, you know, probably take a huge amount of influence from you guys. So
yeah, they toured with us in the, we did the Pop Punk's Not Dead tour in the UK.
Yeah.
And they were on that run, and they were cool dudes.
It's great, man. Well, it should be a lot of fun this summer, and thanks for taking the time with me to chat, and maybe we should do a full episode sometime and, you know, talk about the old days and everything and go real deep.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, man. Well, thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, dude. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right, man. You too.
Yep, see ya. So there's my conversation with Jordan and his two boys, also on the line, which was really cool. Fully in dad mode. I love that. Up next, we got Derek of Mayday Parade. But first, I'm going to play you one of my favorite Newfound Glory songs from their self-titled record. Here is Eyesore on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Forget me not, those weren't sure words. I'm home, haven't you heard the ring? The sound of my voice, I know it isn't much. That's why I say your name when I fall, when I hit the bottom.
It's Shane. I'm back. Up next, here's my talk with Derek Sanders of Mayday Parade.
How's it going?
Good. Dude, you sound clear as a bell.
Nice.
Nice, man. So how's it going? You're on the road right now.
Oh, it's going great. It's, the second night of a tour tonight, so very cool to be getting things going, and we're with the Maine. I love those dudes, so it's good. We're having a good time.
Perfect. So you're doing two nights. What did you say? You were in Memphis? Is that right?
Memphis, Tennessee. That's right.
Wow. Two nights in Memphis. That's not a city known for, you know, rock and roll.
yeah. Well, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, last night the tour started in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you maybe were doing like a back to back night thing. I see. So you're on night two of a tour right now. I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Cool, man. That's great. That's great. So basically, we're here to talk about the Warped Tour, which you guys have just been announced. To be playing the entire thing. And is this your sixth time playing now?
Gosh,
right?
I think so. Let's see. I mean, we did it 2007, 2008, 2010, 2012, 2014, and now 2016. So yeah, this will be our sixth time doing it, which is pretty nuts.
That's totally nuts. Yeah. I think Silverstein, we've done it. We did it last year, and it was our sixth, full one.
Nice. Yeah.
It's wild, man. And what always strikes me about it is really how little it's changed, you know, in the way of, in terms of like, you know, how it's the same people that run it, you know, it's kind of like the same venues. It seems, you know, like nothing's really changed. Catering's always in the same spot. It's like funny, you know, that nothing's changed. Have you found there to be much changes with Warped Tour or do you kind of agree with me?
No, I absolutely agree with you, and that's one of the things that I think is so cool about it, is that in that way it kind of becomes, you know, better in a sense, like each time you do it, because you're just, you know, you're so familiar with it. You know, Warped Tour for us, like the first time doing it, it's a little intimidating, and it's a little like,
you don't really know what to expect and you don't know what to do. And you kind of feel, you know, it's just like an overwhelming kind of thing. But then like each time you do it, you get more and more comfortable with it and it just becomes more fun, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's funny. Like people like Kevin and Lisa, you know, Kevin, who everyone knows runs the thing, and Lisa, who's kind of like, you know, Kevin's number two, I guess, like, they are the scariest people the first time you do Warped Tour. And then after you've done it like six times like us, it's like, you know that you can count on them and they're such great people. So it is kind of a funny thing how you say, yeah, like you're just scared the first time you do Warped Tour that you're going to like piss off somebody and, you know, do the wrong thing and get kicked off the tour and your career's over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's weird. It's like a pressure, you know, and
right.
but then you realize that like, you know, there's no need to worry that much, you know, and but yeah, it's really one of a kind. There's nothing else like it. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And I was reading that actually before you guys were, you know, officially sanctioned on one of the stages, you guys actually followed the Warped Tour. What year was that?
That was in 2006. Yeah, when we had been a band for only about like 6 or 7 months at that point. But we, you know, recorded an EP and got it released and pressed ourselves and followed the whole tour and sold CDs at every date. It was nuts. It was wild.
That's totally nuts and totally wild. Who came up with the idea to do that? Was that you that was like, we have to be a part of this thing to get our name out there?
Well, it was kind of a long evolving story, but the short version is there was a band before Mayday Parade that me and some of the guys were in, and we did some very small touring and stuff, and we kind of just realized that we would go and try and like sell CDs to people at malls and stuff or whatever.
Right,
and
then right.
We somehow found ourselves at a Taste of Chaos show back when they used to do Taste of Chaos.
Of course, yep.
And we were like, well, let's try, you know, walking around with a CD player and headphones and like selling to people here. And we sold like 100 CDs in one day, and then it just kind of clicked. We were like, man, you know, we've been out here on the road for like a month and it took us like a month to sell 100 CDs that way, or we could sell 100 CDs in one day if we did something like this. And then we were like, what if we followed something like Warped Tour and like just sold CDs? And so the idea just kind of like evolved from the early touring and whatnot. And it was great. You know, we sold I think like 11,000 copies of our EP. And then, you know, that was, we got signed to Fearless shortly after that. And it just kind of helped, you know, kick things off and get sort of a buzz going, in the beginning there.
Absolutely. So when you guys did that, I've seen, you know, the parking lot bands, and did you guys actually like try to set up and play music, or was it just kind of walking around and like, you know, the great hustle?
Yeah, it was just walking around with, we all had like CD players and headphones and a backpack full of CDs, and you'd just walk the line. And there were a handful of times where we'd like pull out an acoustic guitar and sit and play some songs. But for the most part, the focus was just, yeah, being out there all day and just selling as many CDs as possible.
That's so cool. And when you guys did that back then, did you ever think you'd be, you know, it would be 2016 and you'd be playing the main stage?
Oh, certainly not. I mean, that was, you know, certainly like the dream. But, you know, I had no idea that it would come as far as it has. So that's, you know, part of why we, you know, feel so lucky. 2014 was our first time playing the main stage, and
right.
to have come from, you know, being a band in the parking lot, trying to sell CDs and following the tour and not even being a part of it, to then like, you know, doing a tour on the smaller stages and kind of working our way up. It's extremely rewarding to be able to do it on the main stage now.
And when you guys were following the tour back in, was it, did you say 05 or 06? I forget.
2006.
2006, yeah. When you guys were doing that, did you actually meet Kevin Lyman or like, because I've heard sometimes he gives bands like, you know, hey, you guys can come in and you got, you know, watch the bands and stuff. Was he cool like that, or did you not have any interaction with him?
We did, and he actually was really, really cool. And in fact, we at one point we kind of upset some of the higher up people on the tour, and they like pulled Kevin like over and was like, we need to kick these guys out of here. They're out here selling CDs or whatever. And he was like, no, it's all good. Like they can stay and do their thing, you know. And he like totally like, you know, vouched for us and let us, you know, keep doing it. even though like it was kind of recommended that we go home, you know? And so I always thought that was like super cool of them. And
yeah, it's cool how, you know, it doesn't matter big or small, you know, in this world, it seems like people always come back around, you know, you can't be burning any bridges. That's what, that's always when people ask me, oh, what advice would you give? You know, which is a common, very cliche interview question, especially for, you know, bands like your band and my band has been around, you know, over 10 years now. Is, oh, what advice would you give? And I always say, like, don't burn any bridges. And that's one thing Kevin Lyman really has done well is, you know, he's really has treated everybody with respect, you know, sometimes to a fault, you know, with giving people second chances, third chances, you know, but that's pretty cool. He was cool with you guys. And now you guys are back for your sixth stint. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's wild.
That is awesome. And I heard that you have a big birthday coming up on the tour.
That's number, right.
The big 3-0.
That's indeed true.
Do you know, have you looked at the schedule where you're going to be for that day?
Well, I don't know for sure where we're going to be. I think I did see that there is a show that day, but I forget where it is. We'll have to do some celebrating on Warped Tour.
Absolutely, man. No, it'll be like they should have like the Derek Sanders barbecue 30th birthday party. Dude, I'll fly out for it, and yeah, man, we'll do it up proper. You only turn 30 once.
That's the truth.
You might turn 29 a few more times over your life. I don't know. But
yeah,
dude, nice, man. I want to, well, I mean, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You know, this is kind of like a, you know, I'd love to do a more in-depth podcast with you at some point. You know, like I usually sit down with people for like an hour and we just get into everything. This is kind of a shorter version. However, I do want to talk a little bit about your vocal style, a little bit about how you approach singing. And the question I want to ask you most is on Warped Tour, how difficult is it, you know, with the changing schedule and not knowing what time you're going to play and all that? How does that affect your voice? And is that something that you kind of get stressed out about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you know, there's nothing worse than waking up to like, hey, man, you guys play in an hour, you know, or whatever. And especially consider, you know, the night before could have been, you know, a late night of drinking and partying.
Could have been your 30th birthday. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like I can't go too hard on my 30th birthday because I feel like they're going to make us play first the next day.
Would they? No, they would.
I don't, yeah. We'll see how it goes. But, it used to stress me out more like in the earlier days of it. But, you know, I feel like, you know, on those days, I certainly, you know, I'll get up right away and I'll make some tea and honey and start kind of trying to warm up my voice immediately. And usually it's fine. Like there's certainly days where it's a little bit of a struggle and you're like, oh God, I wish I was singing at 11 a.m. But you know, it's always like doable, and manageable, I guess at this point anyway, you know? But I think a lot of that's just, you know, like, having sung for as long as I have and built like when I talk to anybody about vocal stuff, I always tell them it's a building thing, just like, you know, a muscle and, you know, like a workout. And if you sing every day, it's you're gonna develop this, you know, control over your voice and whatnot. And then you'll, you know, just be able to do things that you weren't able to. Whenever we first started the band, I don't think I'm really even a great singer now, but I think I've come a long way from where we started.
Sure.
And I think most of that's just from doing it just singing every day, you know,
right.
And just kind of learning your voice and what works for you, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when your band started, I mean, you weren't even really the lead singer at that point, you know? And that was, you know, with Jason obviously and him, you know, starting the band and you're both together in the band, but you know what I mean? And then him leaving and then all of a sudden it's like, well, Derek is the singer now. And that, I mean, that must have been a challenge too for you, was it? Or like your band, I mean, I remember because I'm old enough, you know, to remember you guys coming up and then you guys blowing up and then all of a sudden Jason is gone, you know, and somehow you guys managed to not only maintain but actually grow, and here we are 10 years later and it's like almost ridiculous talking about it now, you know?
Yeah.
But I just, you know, you say, oh, I don't think I'm a great singer, and I just like, I can't help but shake my head and be like, of course you're a great singer, you know? And I just wonder if this stems from this, like, you know, not initially being the lead singer, or if you really feel that way.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel like I said, like, I think I've come a long way. But I think that I, you know, some people like to begin with at 19, whenever we started the band, would have been much, you know, like better singers at that point, I suppose, or, I don't know. But no, I do feel like I've come a long way, and I, you know, think I feel good about, you know, what we do every night and my, you know, performance on stage. And I think that anybody could do it if they just, you know, sang every day for 10 years like I have, you know what I mean?
I do use that sometimes with kids. Like, a kid come up and be like, oh man, like, you know, you're so amazing, and like, I want to do what you do. And I just say, man, like, if I can do it, anybody can, you know. You got to put in the work. I'm not special. I'm not overly talented either, you know, is how I feel about it. And that's right, man. You put in the time, you put in the work, and it pays off. So that's a good thing. I won't keep it much longer. I just want to ask you now, I mean, how many records have you guys put out? I know the new album just came out like in October. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of stuff. How difficult is it going to be to figure out what songs you're going to play in a 35-minute set?
Oh gosh, yeah, I don't even. It's going to be crazy. And I don't know. I've been thinking about it a little bit, and we'll just have to do the best we can. You know, a song or two from each album, or something along those lines. But the newest one is our fifth full length.
Nice.
So yeah, it gets tough. I mean, even the tour we're on now is a co-headliner. So we have an hour set, and the main has an hour set, and even an hour seems like tough to, like, it seems if the set flies by, one, and two, it like just, yeah, it's kind of tough to squeeze in all the songs that you want to play, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You're always going to disappoint some people because you can't play all the songs.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
No. And the new record, it's got a bit of a, dare I say, I don't want to use the term mature because that's a little like cliche or whatever, but maybe darker vibe. How are the new songs going live, and are you going to be playing a lot of them on the Warped Tour this summer?
Yeah, it's all going really good. It's the newer stuff I think has a little more energy. It's a little more rock. So it's, you know, more fun to play live, even in my mind. And,
oh, cool.
It's been really good. And then Warped Tour, we'll certainly be doing at least, you know, a song or two off the new album. You know, just like you said, with 35 minutes, that's roughly, you know, seven songs.
Right.
And with five albums, you know, it's going to be, but we'll definitely, I would imagine, do like two songs off the new stuff, and then, you know, a bunch of old stuff as well, and everything in between. Yeah, it's been really good. We're happy that, you know, each album we've put out has kind of just kept us, you know, moving on track and kept us doing what we're doing, and you know, still out here able to play these shows and everything, which is just truly incredible. So yeah, we're very happy. We feel very lucky.
Awesome, man. Well, that's great. And happy if I don't see you on your 30th. And I might fly out. You never know. But
yeah,
if I don't see you, happy 30th birthday. Hope you have a great tour. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I always leave, whenever I talk to somebody, I always leave them with a tune just in case, you know, people that haven't checked out your stuff, you know, can. So do you have a song that you'd like to all the people to hear? I'll play it right now.
Okay, sure. How about off of our newest album? It's called Black Lines. The song is called Until You're Big Enough. That's one of my favorites on the album.
All right, here it is. Until You're Big Enough on Lead Singer Syndrome. Hey, thanks a lot, Derek.
Yeah, thank you, Fane. I appreciate it, man.
Troubled youth. Got the blues, take a walk in those shoes. See how they fit for a while, I can bend. It's all pretend, it's just fake till you mean it. One day you'll mean it for real. Starting over when your hope all's forgiven. like a man who believes he's got no destiny, he's content. Trouble's so great that you shouldn't have gone through with a clarity I've never seen. I will build you up till you're big enough to take me out. I told you we'd see it through. You don't believe in the support that counts. Promise me you won't. If I bite the hook, would you tell me I'm wrong? Speak like a man who believes he's got no destiny, he's content.
So I checked on July 11th, Derek's birthday, and the tour is going to be in Scranton. Not exactly a party hotspot. However, we did do Silvertooth there last year, so some good times to be had in Scranton. Up next, our final guest of the day. Here's Andy Leo of Crown the Empire.
Hey man, how you doing?
Good, dude. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Nice, man. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Sweet, man. Sweet, man. I'm stoked to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. I know you guys are busy. You guys are gearing up for a tour with Issues. Does that start today?
Yeah, actually, today's the first day. I'm in the bus right now in San Francisco, looking out at a couple of crazy homeless guys.
Oh yeah, well, that's San Francisco for you.
It's great. You know what? This guy had a full-on machete.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, like it was like a sword almost. I was impressed, but he was just swinging it around the bus. But we got security to kind of escort him away. But yeah, I'm excited. First day of tour.
What venue are you guys at there?
You know what? I have no idea. We've never played here before. We were supposed to be here on the Mice and Men tour on the last run, but our bus broke down just before. So this is our first time in the city.
Damn. Oh, really? Ever?
Yeah.
That is so crazy, man. San Francisco, it's like one of the major markets, like, in America, you know? Like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. California, you know, it's nothing to complain about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I'm actually in your home state right now. I'm in Texas.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, but I'm in Lubbock, Texas, so, you know.
fun stuff.
Yeah, oops. No, we're going out to the So Wet Festival tomorrow, so.
Awesome.
Yeah, man. No, things are good. I'm glad to hear things are going well with you. It's funny you mentioned your bus breaking down. I remember we did Warped Tour with you guys in like 2013.
Yep.
That was your first Warped Tour, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you guys had that RV that had like your band name stenciled on it. And
yep.
Was that the same one that broke down?
Our vocalist dad. Yeah, our vocalist dad's like, oh, I'll customize it for you guys. Don't worry about it.
Nice.
And yeah, fix it up for us, you know.
It got you from point A to point B though, right?
Definitely. Little, like, you know, it had its little things. Our AC unit on the top of the bus got ripped off tour.
Did you guys hit like a highway overpass or whatever?
You know what? It was a big cable, a low hanging cable, and our driver just, I guess, was just freestyling it, and we were sitting in the front, and all of a sudden, the sunshine's just coming, like, hitting me in the face from the roof.
That's so fucked. Like,
it was bad.
Yeah.
He started crying, like, before we even started talking to him. But, yeah, that was a blast.
Oh my God! Yeah, you guys are lucky that nothing like fell in on anybody or whatever, you know? Like,
oh yeah,
jeez, man,
well, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, well, hey, well, I mean, I know it's only been that was only 3 years ago now, but you guys are on the entire Warped Tour this year. You guys are on the Monster stage, and I'm sure you guys are doing this in a proper bus. So
yeah,
yep. So a little bit safer. Are you guys looking forward to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Warped Tour was, you know, 2013 was like a surreal experience for us. You know, up until that point, our only ambition, because we didn't really have a scope of what the music industry was. And so Warped Tour was like every, as a fan, every kid's dream. And so from that to, you know, at least we made it. We're missing like a week of shows, but we're out here.
Right.
And to finally like, oh, this is my job now. I can wake up and do this comfortably. It's an amazing experience.
That's
now.
Cool. That's really cool that you mention it being like your dream, like growing up and stuff. I guess you attended a lot of Warped Tours, like as a fan. Do you remember your first your first one that you attended?
You know what? It was actually a festival in Dallas. I believe it was a I want to say Unsilent Night, but the second year around there were just like a ton of bands. I think Senses Fail was like one of the ones I was really excited to see. I think I did remember was there. It was the first time I'd seen like a Mice and Men. But yeah, you know, we were fans of bands. You know, my first concert, I didn't start going to shows until I was in high school. You know, I guess my mom just didn't trust me or didn't want me to go out.
Yeah.
So it was my little way of rebelling. Finally, going out to those shows. And the year just before, we attended Warped Tour as a band. You know, just like as you know, fans.
Crazy, yeah. No, I was just talking to Aaron from Real Big Fish, and I saw his band, Real Big Fish, play on Warped Tour in 1997. When I was 16.
No shit.
Yeah, when I was 16.
That's crazy.
So we were just talking about that and how and you know how like Warped Tour has changed so much and everything. But it is really cool, like for me now, you know, we've done Warped Tour like 6 times, but I remember the first time we pulled into Warped Tour and I was like, whoa, like I've attended this every year and now we're playing, and it was just like the coolest experience. So I love to hear that for you, you know, it's like, it really is like kind of the living the dream, you know, until it's like August and you're like, fuck this, I can't wait to go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, are you guys, you guys prepared for that? You guys, what do you guys do on Warped Tour to kind of like, you know, ease the pain of the heat and, you know, just the stress on your body and everything? You guys have anything you guys do specifically?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, Warped Tour, the best time for us was just to get on a good schedule because, you know, the set times are different every day. And we, you know, we were the guys who would be able to sleep until 2 and, like, not worry about it most of the time. So, you know, having to get on a schedule was a good idea. We actually did, we started working out. We did 8 weeks of Insanity, which.
Oh, yeah.
Which, looking back, was, like, the most ripped we've ever been as a band.
Sean T's my boy.
He's the best. You know, I've been so pumped with Shanti. Come on, y'all. Let's go. Like every day.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was a good thing. Yeah, yeah. Getting in a schedule, getting in a routine, I think is just the easiest to make sure everybody's healthy too. You know, everybody, that first Warped Tour, I'm sure you've seen us walking around just shithoused, just, you know, yeah, barbecuing it up and everything like that.
You guys look pretty dejected. Kind of like collectively. Yeah. I'll be honest. Yeah. Like your tour manager,
was it Dustin at the time?
Yeah, Dustin. Sorry. Yeah, I remember talking to Dustin a few times and him just being like, "Yep, here we are." Like it was just very, you know. And then cycle forward to when he was with Memphis Mayfire and he's like walking around with a smile on his face, and you know, maybe he figured something out. But yeah, no. But you bring up a good point about the schedule, and that's like I'm talking to all these singers, you know, about Warped Tour, and that really is the hardest thing about singing. Is not having that routine where like you could get up in the morning and you could have to be on stage like at 11:15, or you could have all day to wait around and not be on stage till like, you know, 8:30. So is that hard on you as a singer to kind of do that, or do you cope pretty well with the change of times?
Well, me personally, I'm really sensitive to like the climate changes in cities.
Okay, yeah, like
you know,
dryness.
Yesterday
and
we had a. Yeah, definitely. And it's noticeable. You know, we played New Mexico yesterday and Texas is just like, you know, low and flat, you know, pretty humid for the most part, like not a problem. First show, we had like a warm up show on the way here in New Mexico and it just destroyed me. I was out of breath. I was wheezing. Like my voice sounded like really coarse. And it's something that like a lot of people don't have to worry about, which I'm amazed by. People, like, I've seen people just wake up and go.
Right. Oh, I can't do that.
For me,
forget
you know,
it. No way.
I can't. It's impossible. No chance. You know, I always have to be really hydrated, you know, drink a lot of water, and do everything necessary to make sure. We started using, like, this nasal spray, Dave and I.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like a it was a, you put, like, a salt packet or something inside of it, and you squirt it in your nose, and it comes out. Is it a neti?
Yeah, a neti pot, yeah.
Yeah, it was a game changer. I had no idea, so.
Oh, yeah.
Just making sure you get that kind of stuff, the basics in, you're just kind of subject to whatever, you know, if you're in the desert, you're going to feel it no matter what. So
yeah,
that's best prepare yourself.
That's another interesting thing about your band. I mean, you guys have two singers.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you kind of have like a bit of a, I don't want to say partner in crime, but you have somebody you can like kind of bounce your frustration off and be like, oh, my throat hurts today, or it's dry, or there's altitude, or whatever. So, like, do you and David really, like, you're able to talk about that stuff and kind of feel like you're not alone? Because I feel like I'm, like, super alone, like, no one understands. Like,
oh, my gosh. Oh, before David had to explain it to him, you know, when we were in the high school and we were just getting started, they're just like, dude, just stop being a bitch and play the songs. I was like, we played the song 30 times in a row. We only have one song. Like, and they're just like, dude, just play it. Just play it. So, yeah, with Dave, obviously Dave and I can, we're the ones that can whine about it all day together.
Right.
But it's also great to be like, hey, do you need this? Do you need this? Just helping each other out. So it definitely helps for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, like, also about you guys is, you know, you used to be kind of the singer screamer guy, and now it's almost like you've kind of given yourself the job as the lead singer and David's more the screamer.
Right.
Was that like by design, or was that a decision kind of for preservation of your voice? Like, were you having issues, or how did that all kind of come about?
Yeah, initially, I think we were like 18 when we had done all of the, we recorded our first EP where I was doing all of it. And yeah, honestly, there was no technique. There was no, you know, consistency at all with what I was doing. I had no idea. The singing, you know, I had done like choir in high school, like 1 year of choir. So I got the gist of it, but, I definitely noticed that, you know, two shows in a row and like all of a sudden couldn't talk. And so, you know, we didn't want to be a band that, you know, oh my God, they were so, their album's so good, but holy shit, they were awful live.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's just, you know, it started off as that. And then, you know, Dave, it was more of a dynamic change later. You know, we've become more of a melodic band over time, and, you know, we've been able to provide different, you know, cool dynamics. Dave's got like, If I'm like the singer, the clean, the heart, then Dave's like the rugged, the balls of it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And it's cool to try and to bring these in together, and it just kind of over time changed like that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think it gives you guys a great dynamic live too. Like, it keeps it interesting, and seeing you guys run around with each other is cool. So
yeah,
I back it, man. So you guys have a new record coming out this summer, is that right?
Is
it coming out on the tour? Do you guys have a name? Do you guys have a name for it yet?
You know what? We've thrown around a few, but it looks like it's going to be called Mercury.
Mercury, cool. That's a great planet, man. Close to the sun, very hot.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah. Also, it's like the harmful metal. You know, it's like fun to play with, but it can kill you.
Okay. Is that kind of like the basis? Is that kind of the meaning of the title?
Yeah, I think it was just the main kind of idea.
Very cool. Very cool. And when can we expect that to, do you have a release date?
I do not. I actually have no idea. I feel like everybody else knows the plan, and I'm just like, you know, just go for it.
Dude, that's,
but,
that's
I know summer for sure.
That's lead singer syndrome right there, man. That's like, we'll let Andy Leo do his own thing, and you know, and we'll take care of it.
Definitely. It's like, when the fuck do we get ice cream sort of situation?
That's amazing. I've never heard it put so eloquently.
Yeah.
I also want to ask you a little bit about your relationship with your fans, because I think it's really cool. Like, I see you on Twitter, and you like respond to all the fans, and you're very open with them. And I think I saw you tweet the other day that, you know, you had your first show back, and the band's playing in one key, and you and David are singing in another. You know, like
freestyle vocals,
right?
Freestyle vocals, yeah,
exactly. like you're kind of willing to put yourself out there and just like be really honest about it and be like, hey, like, I don't want to scream anymore because I feel like I can't do my best in that role. And now you're like very open about like, hey, we had not the best show, you know, and that kind of stuff is really rare to see. You know, people don't really want to admit fault and admit that. So how does that, like, is that just your personality that comes through and kind of something that you put out there or?
Yeah, it's always just kind of been, it's kind of just been like our personality coming through. You know, we've never been a band to really take ourselves that seriously, you know? Uh-huh. And I think when we first got started, it really changed our experience and our perception of what, you know, bands really were. You know, we had looked up to a lot of bands that, you know, now we've, you know, we were fans of and that we now have toured with and have played shows with. And so, you know, coming into it, it's like these guys, like, oh, shit, like, we were listening to these guys and we're hanging out with them and seeing like they were just as pissed off. Like a lot of times, you know, we got cool guyed by a lot of people that we were legitimate fans of. I remember, certain people like talking shit to us on Twitter. That was like completely blown away. I was like, I was listening to your album like a week ago. And you know, it's crazy to see how seriously people kind of take themselves and how this kind of, in our little music world right now, just kind of created its own bubble and was kind of afraid to let newer people in. And so, you know, when I get the chance to meet younger bands or new bands coming up, I'm like, I'll happily go out and introduce myself and, you know,
absolutely, try
and
man.
Listen to them and stuff like that. And, you know, it's, I think it, you know, it doesn't have to be all that serious, you know, that when ego gets in the way of what you're actually doing, it's like going out there, making music, playing music for fun, you know, and a career. But, I, you know, it's just the way that I think I look at things.
I think it's a great way to look at it. But I mean, you guys still like, you guys have like a sort of, like, a, you know, an image and, you know, you guys care about that side of your band too. And, you know, you're trying to put together, you know, serious albums with like, you know, I know that a lot of your albums have like a story element to them, you know, like, like conceptual themes and stuff. So that's important. You know, you're never going to be a, you're not going to do a joke song. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
So there's like, there's that, I hesitate to use the word duality, but there's a little bit about of a duality between like your personality is not taking yourself so serious and then your albums, which are like very serious.
Super. Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, I think that that's cool. But I just wonder if that's something that you ever struggle with, like, you know, oh, which side of the coin am I going to be on today? You know?
Oh yeah. You know what? That's something that we've actually had to kind of bring up as a band is, you know, We do put ourselves out there like that, and we can't be like making fart jokes on stage or anything. You know, it's kind of hard. You know, you have to put yourself in the mindset. And what we finally kind of understood is, you know, you are what you put out there. You know, and you know, maybe that's something I should work on too, and not be like so. You know, maybe I should try and be cooler. I don't know.
I don't know either, man. Like, there's like a lot of the mystery is gone. You know, from what it was like. You know, back before there was social media. You know, and you didn't know. You didn't know what a guy's like fucking dog was called. You know what I mean? Like there's things like that are like out there now and everyone's posting pictures and I think it's fine, but it definitely does change the way, you know, perceptions of people and in a way it brings people down. It brings, you know, you as lead singer of a big band down to like a fan's level more where you make it more relatable. But also you become like less mysterious and, you know, and you don't have that like mystique, which, you know, some people have maintained, like, you know, somebody like Jesse Lacey from Brand New is still has that mystery to him. You know, so there's still people that do it. And I always wonder if that's something people do on purpose or if that's just people's personality. And I don't know if I'll ever really know.
Yeah. The internet's so weird, man. The internet is a weird place.
Yeah, dude, it certainly is. I won't take up too much of your time. I know you're very busy starting out this tour. You're out with Issues right now. Tell the people where they can find you, because I know this is going to air next week, and you know, I want people to come check you out on tour. So tell the people about the tour.
Yeah, Monster Outbreak tour with Issues. It's been a long time coming. It's our first time really getting to do a U.S. tour with them. So be sure to catch us, you know, full U.S. and check out our album. It's out on iTunes, and we have some very new stuff coming out. We're super excited about.
You got a new single that's going to drop soon, or are you waiting till closer to Warped?
You know what? We do have one coming out on this tour. I think we've been pushing for it, and we're actually playing a new song on this tour as well.
Nice. Awesome. Well, yeah. We'll make sure everybody listening to this checks it out. Andy, thanks, man. I always play music on my podcast. Do you have any requests to a song I can play, a Crown the Empire song, you want the people to hear?
Yeah, let's do Prisoners of War.
Prisoners of War. Here it is on Lead Singer Syndrome. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks for having me, Shane.
And that wraps up the Warped Tour special. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, if you missed the first episode, go check it out. It's up now. And make sure you have tickets for Warped Tour. It's a great lineup from top to bottom. It is awesome. I'm sad that Silverstein can't play. I mean, we can't play it every year, so I'm sure we'll do it again at some point. Some of the best memories of my entire life were on the Vans Warped Tour. I want to thank Kevin Lyman for helping me out with this, as well as everyone at Jabberjaw Media, Mike Mowry, Nick Bunda. Make sure you guys check out jabberjawmedia.com too. There, if you guys like podcasts, if you're new to the podcast format and you want to hear people talk about music, check out jabberjawmedia.com because they have so many great shows. And lastly, make sure you're subscribed. Next week, I will be back with an all-new episode. It's going to be great. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week. This is Shane. Peace and love.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com. Shh.